Thank you, Janice. Well, again, so glad to have you here, and especially if you're here as a guest today. Thanks for coming to be with us and to share these moments with us here at Covenant Church. Janice, what was it you told me earlier? It's not about asking the Holy Spirit to come, because he's already here. Open our heart. Yeah, there you go. So we're going to do that this morning. She's right. You know, the Holy Spirit's already here. We've asked him to be here. He's already here before us. Got here way before us this morning. He's been in our midst as we've been singing and praying and spending time in worship. But it's really all about us opening our hearts to allow him to work and to speak to us. So let me pray that that would happen. God, thank you for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Again, we do want to pray that you would open our hearts to whatever you want to do in us, whatever you want to say to us today, however you want to impact our lives today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's be honest this morning. There are some of us here, right now, in this very moment, who are really struggling with life. You know, for the most part, we're able to put on the happy face. You know, we get together with people in our church, or man, we don't want anybody to know we're struggling with life. So we put on a happy face. We come together and we smile and it's all bubbly and we're all excited. But deep inside, we're a mess. Our lives are full of turmoil and heartache. Maybe some pent-up bitterness or anger, maybe toward God. Maybe because we feel that God has allowed us or dealt us a hand in life that's really too hard to handle. Sometimes we misdirect that anger and that bitterness toward other people. Sometimes, as people who follow Jesus, we're forced to reconcile catastrophic events that happen in our world. Sometimes where thousands of people lose their lives. We are forced to reconcile mass murders. We are forced to reconcile acts of senseless terrorism. We're forced to reconcile all that bad stuff in our world with a God who is kind and loving and gracious and caring. Sometimes that's really, really hard for us to do. You know, the question sometimes we ask is, where does God go? Where is God gone? Where has he gone to hide when we hear about cancer in the lives of children or adult friends? God, where are you in the midst of all that? How do we get our heads around this idea that life isn't fair all the time? Where is God when life takes these crazy, twisting turns and in the lives of people? People that we love and care about, maybe our own lives. And it's not just, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not just bad people who have problems. It's not just those people that ignore God, that kind of leave Him on the outs, you know, on the outs of life, on the margins. Sometimes it's really good people who struggle with life, like some of us here this morning. Where's God in all that? Let me just say, those are some great questions that I wish I could have an answer, an easy answer to give you about all of them. But my confession this morning is I have no easy answer. In fact, there may never be an answer that you and I see on this side of heaven. But that doesn't mean that we can't survive those seemingly senseless circumstances that life throws at us. Maybe if we hear the story of H.G. Spafford again, it will help us to remember that even in the midst of life's craziest and most difficult moments, God never leaves us. God never walks away from you or me. He never, ever turns His back on us and says, "Hey, you know what? Go do it yourself." That's not God. H.G. Spafford was an incredibly successful attorney in the city of Chicago back in the mid to late 1800s. I mean, incredibly successful. More money than you could think about back in those days. And he heavily invested into the city of Chicago. I mean, downtown, a lot of downtown were buildings that he owned. Buildings that he took care of. Buildings that were his. He had a lot of money. He and his wife had four little girls. They're on the left there. And that little picture, you see that insert picture? That's their little boy, who at 4 years old developed scarlet fever. In the 1800s, that wasn't good. He died. Shortly after he died, there was a great Chicago fire. Now that fire that many of us remember, that fire ravaged, I mean, devastated that whole city. Almost the entire city of Chicago was destroyed. When it was all over, 300 people had lost their lives. There were 100,000 people in the city of Chicago who are now homeless. H.G. Spafford lost almost everything that he owned. Gone in that fire. For 2 years, H.G. Spafford and his wife and his four little girls joined up with Dwight Moody, who was an evangelist in the city of Chicago at the time. They joined up with him and his ministry, and they did all they could do to take care of those persons who were now homeless. They did all that they could do to take care of those people whose lives were suddenly impoverished. They did all that they could do to take care of those people whose lives were suddenly turned upside down because of this fire. For 2 years they did that. Every last dime that H.G. Spafford had, he used to take care of people, to be in ministry. And finally, after 2 years, H.G. and his wife Anna decided it was time for them to take a break. It was time for them to take a vacation. So they decided that they were gonna set sail. They were gonna go to London. Because Dwight Moody and Ira Stanky were already there doing revival services in England. And they were going to go to London, meet up with them, and then travel around Europe for a while. There was some last-minute business that came up, and H.G. Spafford couldn't go on the ship that they were supposed to go on, so he put his wife and four little girls on that ship headed for London, England. They never made it. Off the coast of Newfoundland, their ship ran into another ship. And the ship that his wife and daughters were on sank in 20 minutes. Somehow, miraculously, his wife Anna found a piece of the wreckage and was able to cling to that piece of wreckage for 48 hours until she was rescued. About a week later, H.G. Spafford in Chicago got this telegram from his wife in England. Do you see what those first couple words are? Saved alone. Their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, died in that horrific event. Saved alone. What shall I do? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pain and the heartache, the grief? Saved alone. H.G. Spafford got on the very next ship bound for London, England. And he asked the captain for a favor. He said, when we get to that place where that shipwreck happened a couple of weeks ago, would you have someone come to my cabin and get me? And as they sailed along off the coast of Newfoundland, the captain sent for H.G. Spafford. And H.G. Spafford went to the deck of that boat that he was on, and he was looking over the railing into that dark ocean where far below his daughters lie, tears streaming down his face. And he wrote the words to that incredible hymn that millions and millions and millions of people have sung over the years, "It Is Well. It Is Well with My Soul." There are very few of us here this morning who can say that we've never experienced hard times. I said a couple of weeks ago that I don't like to be a doomsayer. I don't like to be a predictor of hard times. But some of us know very well, life is full of hard times. Life often doesn't seem very fair. Grief is oftentimes far too real. Heartache happens far more often than we ever thought possible. And we're not the first to know it. And we won't be the last. You know, as I thought about Scripture, I thought, well, there are a half a dozen personalities in the Scriptures I can think of immediately. They come to my mind. Job is one of them. Moses is another one. The grief and the heartache and the pain that they must have dealt with as life kept dealing them blow after blow after blow. But here's the thing. When life happens to you and me, And it's going to. When life happens, we get to choose. We get to choose. We're either going to be bitter or we're going to be better. We get to choose. To get better, we have to learn to trust God even in those dark places. Even when life doesn't make sense. Even when it seems like everything is caving in on us. We need to learn to walk in the way of Solomon's wisdom. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart. To not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him and know that when we can do that, He'll direct our steps. Those passages that are in your bulletin this morning, I'm not going to read them now, but please take your bulletin home and take some time today to read through those words of Scripture. Ponder what they mean to you. What they mean to us. And know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves us. More than we can understand. Listen, God is for us. God is worthy of our trust. Listen, I'll be the first to admit, I don't always know what I'm doing. And really and truly, just so you know, I don't always know what God's doing. But you know the cool part? I know that God knows what He's doing. And I can trust Him. I know that God's grace is always sufficient for every moment that we face in life. No matter how hard, no matter how tough, no matter how difficult. It's up to you and me to choose. We're going to get bitter or we're going to get better. The way we respond to that, to life circumstances, is it's our choice. Now you know what I've discovered in my own life? I can scream and I can kick and I can fuss. I can complain. Or I can keep walking in the way that Jesus shows me. I can keep going, trusting all that I know about Jesus. That even when my burdens are too heavy to carry, I know that He's carrying them with me, for me. So I want us to stand and I want us to sing the first two verses of "It Is Well With My Soul." With all that in mind, what will you and I choose today? To complain, to be bitter, or to be better? Let's stand and sing the first two verses. And Brian, I'm going to let you click back there so I don't mess things up with this clicker up here. So.
It is well, it is
control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
So as you're sitting down, I want you to ponder that question. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? We're going to sing that next verse here in a minute. And you can stay sitting down if you want to. You can stand up if you want to. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But when I hear the words that we're about to sing, there's no possible way I can sit down. No way. I mean, when you think about, we're going to sing a proclamation that God has done something good and amazing in our lives. And I don't know, you just decide how that fits with you today as we sing this next verse, because I'm telling you, I just can't sit and sing it. How amazing, I mean, think about this. How amazing is it that you and I don't have to bear the punishment and the judgment for our sins, for the messes that we make of our lives? Listen, here's the truth. When we invite Jesus to come into our hearts for the first time, when we surrender our lives to Him on a daily basis, we can do that because He took our judgment. Listen, church, He took our pain. He took our punishment upon Himself on the cross. We are free to experience the overwhelming peace of God. We are able to live a guilt-free life. Romans 8, listen to this. It's really clear. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe I didn't say that. Well, maybe it wasn't understood. I don't know. Let me say it again. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I mean, yeah. I mean, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let's stand. Well, I don't know. You decide. Let's sing.
My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Seated. That was cool. You stood up. That's awesome. Now listen, we're going to sing another verse in just a minute. And if you can sing this next verse without tears of joy coming to your eyes, oh man, just to know that this life, church, is not the end. Get that in your hearts, church. This life is not the end. Listen, that's what allowed H.G. Spafford to get on the deck of that ship and write those words. A heart full of grief and pain and heartache. And what's he write? Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. He was so aware, and you and I can know that it's true as well. This is what he says, that one of these days the clouds will roll back and the Lord shall descend. Church, do you know what that means? Listen, in case you don't know, Jesus is coming back for his church. Oh man. Oh, it's going to be well all right. I don't know. If you can sit down, you go ahead and sit down, but let's sing.
Lord, haste a day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Wow, church. You know, when Jesus said in John chapter 14, my peace I give to you, not like anything else you've ever experienced, not like the world gives, you ever wonder what he meant? The word peace that Jesus spoke in that sentence was the same word that's used in the Old Testament so often, shalom. Not as the world gives, my peace, my shalom I give to you. Not like the world gives. You see, the world says, well, hey, I'll tell you what, let's do all we can do. Let's try and figure this out and push out the bad circumstances. That's the kind of peace that the world wants to give us. Let's put them aside temporarily so we can pick them up later. Now Jesus says, whoa, that's not the kind of peace I want you to have. My peace I give to you. That word means that he wants us to know wholeness. He wants us to experience all that he has for us. Everything that God has intended for you and me. He wants us to know that and to live into that. My peace I give to you, not like the world gives. Church, rest in that today. Know that is true today and tomorrow and the next day and next week and next month. My peace I give to you. Now we can't leave here without singing that chorus at least one more time. So let's sing it.
Is well it is with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Just singing this song as a reminder of your grace and mercy and love poured into our lives. God, help us to walk out of this place today singing those words, singing that chorus, and knowing that it's true. It is well with my soul. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.